be blue, 'cause I can't see you. Richie, I love you.
All righty, here we go. This is Richie Wexler. It's late night in Philadelphia. 10 p.m. It's not that late night, but it's, you know, I'm 52. It's after 9, it's late night. Just kidding. So, I don't know. For those who follow the podcasts, I've sometimes shared personal stories. I don't know how I feel about that. I go back and forth on it. But I really wanted to share something about Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens. And I just have a kind of a bunch of weird stories that are associated with him I want to share. I don't think I'm going to tell them particularly well, but I'll try. I'll try to keep this. It's my go 10 minutes. I just want to, you know, I don't know. There's stuff I want to say. I'll try to make it shorter, but for the hardcore people, you're gonna get your money's worth, kids. All right. Pee Wee Herman stories. I guess the first. I mean, some of these are anecdotes at best, short ones. They don't might not even be logical or going. Yeah. Anyway. So saw Pee Wee's Big Adventure when I was 15 and. It just fucking blew my mind. I don't know when this happened, but within a few months, I had seemed to have memorized a lot of it. So I must have probably not seen it. I don't think I saw it in the theaters, but who knows? But I probably didn't see it till TV because I had memorized the speech in the basement, which I still know most of. But that movie just, I don't know, I don't think it hit me. Honestly, I'll talk about getting to know Paul a little bit. It feels weird to even say his name, like we're best friends. We're not, but we did interact for a brief period of time. He was very kind to me, and anyway, so we'll talk about it later. But, you know, for the sake of this thing, he goes by Paul. So that's my first, you know, memory is just memorizing that speech, watching with friends over and over and over again. I mean, I think what's so cool about it now, you know, I grew up as a very mainstream Jewish boy in Northeast Philadelphia. It's like not really the city. It's not, you know, it's not a thriving space for a young weirdo artsy kid. And I think there was part of me that recognized this was some weird performance art. But I can only do that from my understanding of it now looking back. I don't know if that happened or not, but I think something in there was like, this is different, this is weird, and I just fell in love with it. And I really didn't think about how much of an influence he had been on me until that happened, until I got to know him a little bit. I was like, holy shit, like, this is so obvious. Anyway, I posted something about him. He liked it. Of course I'm going to thank him because, you know, I don't think he's going to read it, but, you know, you thank him. He thanks me back, tells me, like, my page. We go on and on, you know, for the first 6-7 months, I wasn't sure it wasn't, you know, I mean, who knows if it was him, but it was. And I don't know, we went back and forth a while, but I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's go back. Going off of, I think I was 16, about a year after seeing Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and I was recreating in my head. I was in my friend's bathroom, it was late at night, and I was recreating the Pee-wee scene in the bathroom, but there was no tape and no large toothbrush, so I guess in my head I was like, let me use a shit ton of Q-tips and just put them all in. Like I had like Q-tips, like three coming out of my ear, two or three up my nose, six in my mouth, and my friend comes in, and he doesn't see me, and he winds up knocking one of the ear... winds up hitting my arm, which then went into the Q-tip that just punctured my eardrum. So I got to call my dad at like fucking 11. Hey, father. Yeah, another predicament I've gotten myself into. I just poked a hole in my own eardrum. I'd like to go to the doctor. Okay, see you soon. Thanks, Papa. You know, whatever. That was one. The next one gets to college. Again, I owned a Pee Wee Herman talking doll. I don't know what year it came out. I don't know if I had it since I was young or not. I owned it. I took it to college. I mean, again, it was in there. It was definitely my influence. And I don't remember why. I don't know if it was like I was saying goodbye to chocolate or some shit, but I got really angry one night and I just beat it. I just killed it. I just slammed it and hit it and punched it and ripped it and pretty much destroyed it. I don't know why. I still don't really understand. I feel like it was a tribute to him in some way, but I can't explain it to this audience in this moment, unfortunately. All right, that goes on to Pee Wee Herman bike. I see this bike. It must have been about 10 years ago. It looks like Pee Wee's bike. It's not exactly. It's a kind of a. It was what they would call it a. They called it a Frankenstein Schwinn. So it was like it was red and white. So it had some of that, and it just had parts from like a bunch of like from the 80s, from the 50s, from the 60s, from the 70s. It was a great bike. I love that bike. It was the good thing about that bike is I would get a lot of people would go, "Oh, Pee-wee, yeah," so they would call me that on my bike, which is kind of cool. But the sad fact of that as well is when, I don't know, I looked happy in that bike. I wasn't happy exactly because it was so heavy that I would ride places to go. I would go on my bike for a ride, maybe, I don't know, a few miles, and I wouldn't be able to ride home because my legs were done after it was like a 50-pound bike. But one day I'm riding it, and these three dudes turn around, and they're cheering, and then they're like, "Let's get him." And, like, I had to run this bike and myself into a bar not to get the shit beat out of me. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's tricky when you're, when people see you being happy in the world, they don't always like it. It's like that scene, especially if you're free. It's like that scene in Easy Rider when they're at the fire, and they're talking to Jack Nicholson character, and they just come from the diner, where they were looking, they were going to get killed. And he's like, "Well, what happened there?" He's like, something about you." He mentioned something about you represent freedom for them, and they hate you for it because they don't have it. And it felt like that. Okay, college. So we're still in college. I still have the Pee Wee Herman is still with me in some way. I was in a Jewish fraternity. It was a stoner Jewish fraternity. I don't know. I'm not a fraternity kind of person. Looking back, I would have been much better with like friends in the theater department and shit and the weirdos and the art kids. I don't know. What happened was my mother is a Jew. I mean, since I'm a Jew, I have a Jewish mother, and she did not really want me to live on campus. And I gotta say, it wasn't the safest place in the world. That being said, and then I lived at this campus called Ambler, which was like, I don't know, it was like 200, it was like 300, it had no life. I lived there. There's only like 50 of us in the dorm. Half of us people went home on the weekends. And I was really active in Jewish youth group in high school. And I was really very, I don't know if you're like this or not, whoever is listening. But it's like I was very popular in small groups, and I was very unpopular in larger groups. It was a weird live. It's a weird way to live. Anyway, so there's a point to that, and I just lost it. So I did a fraternity, and then we had to be in a pageant. So it was like you had to have a dress. I don't know. It was a talent evening gown and something else. And I think I had to drive home and ask for my mother's dress because I didn't have a dress. She gave me one, I guess. And I went by Large Marge because it just made sense. I don't know. I was still a Pee-wee fan and went by Large Marge. When you're in a fraternity, they haze you. So, I don't know. They were hazing us for a while and they wouldn't let us shower. And at some point, somebody starts yelling out, Large Marge reeks. Which was then like what I heard for like another like 6 months. Like I couldn't walk past anybody without them saying Large Marge reeks. So I was like, great, thanks. Later on, I became a VJ, just like a old school VJ. Like I guess this is the 90s or late 90s. So I'd bring like two VCRs and like 30 VHS tapes, and I had no editing. I just had a switcher, a Radio Shack switcher that could go to two things. And I don't know if I had a monitor of any kind. I don't think I did. But that was my name, and I got around, I got in the paper and shit, it was cool, it was fun. What's next, there's a few more, here we go, Cherry. So I'm Jewish, and my parents got divorced when I was 23. It's not really the point of the story, but then my father got remarried, and it was his wife's. It was a Haggadah. It's like, you know, the Haggadah is for the Seder, and I don't think anyone's Seder. I guess it's a Last Supper of sorts. I don't know if it is or not, but, you know, it's a dinner. It represents freedom. There's all these rules to it. Check it out. Go to your Jewish friend's one. You know, we're supposed to invite strangers in and share food. So, you know, it's a good way in. And we had Haggadah that was from, can't think of the company. They made coffee. They were big coffee company. I can't think of them right now, like old school coffee. And they would put a Haggadah out, you know, for customers and shit. And they made one, that one from in the 80s that I've searched all over for. I can't find it. House. What is it? Something House? Brewing House? Something? Maxwell House. I think it's Maxwell House. And one of the ideas is on Passover we recline. We're celebrating, like, getting out of slavery. So there's a picture of Cherry in the Haggadah under reclining, which just cracked me the fuck up for like years because we kept using that. I would just always point it at my sister and be like, "It's Cherry. What's Cherry?" I mean, it didn't make sense, you know. I didn't think Cherry endorsed any particular religion. I gotta say. So that gets me to, you know, meeting. I'm not gonna say my public. I don't know. I feel like Paul was pretty private as a person, so I'm not going to say anything that was private, but I'm going to keep that to a minimum because I just don't... I don't know. The only reason I'm sharing this is because when I shared a little bit of this online, just a few, neat, you know, like, smiles he sent me, it was just to show other people how kind he was to strangers and people he didn't even know. And I think that was really... What was so amazing is he was just kind. He just really tried. I mean, he'd fuck with you a little bit, I guess. I mean, he was jokey. You know, he you see some of the videos of him birthday. He would like write some things. I mean, he's having fun with you, but it's nothing but kindness, you know. And I think just, you know, getting to know him, I do feel a little bad. I kept asking him to do the podcast, and he couldn't say yes. It might have been something different. To be fair, I don't know. But I feel like, you know, I bugged him a little bit, and I'm feeling a little bad. Which is why I'm trying to do an event September 23rd. I'm asking for submissions. There's information on the Instagram, Vintage Anna's Archive. And I feel like, at a certain point, I felt kind of bad, because I felt like, oh, he doesn't want to do this, and I didn't know why, and then it just kind of made me feel bad about the interaction, and... I think once I didn't like feeling that way, but once I understood who he was more from other people, and in general, I just got how much he gave me and how much he interacted. I mean, we went back and forth for about a year and some. You know, one of the things he loved was Wiki-Wachi Mermaids. He grew up around there. I think he grew up in. I grew up in Jersey and New York, but he spent time there as a kid. And he sent me some. He sent me a few, like a picture from a program he had. He recently would reference Bart, the bootlegs that I posted a bunch of Bart Simpson bootleg t-shirts. There's one thing I posted, and I forget the book. It was like, there's an image that has like 12 squares of guys in 70s outfits, and one of them kind of looks like Paul. That dude's like on the bottom row, maybe second or third in. He loved that book. I sent him a copy of it as a thank you for just being on my page. And the last thing I'll say here is, you know, I think for a while I was just like, he just represents, you know, our the theme of our podcast and our page is outsiders. And there was just nobody that represented it more than Paul, in my opinion. And... because he was so nice to me, because he liked the page, because he didn't follow, he followed like 450 people and we were one of them. It felt like such an honor to have someone you had such high regard then actually like what you're doing. It changed my life, really. And I never understood that there's people in the world that you think the world of, that you're just, they're your heroes. And then one day they're like, you're cool, you know, you do good shit, and you're like, holy fuck, like, what world is this? Where the people that I'm like are the most awesome are also telling me they like what I'm doing. It's a lot. And I saw a duty in that. And I think to be fair, not just a duty, but an opportunity to just, it made me put everything I had into doing this stuff. I would do posts that were like, you know, maybe I would take 5 minutes to post stuff, just sometimes throwing it out there. And then, you know, now it's like a half hour a day, no matter what. I take my time, I do some research, I theme it sometimes, like, it's a whole fucking thing. And it takes, you know, it's 3 hours over a week. But it's something I really work hard at, and everything else came out of that. Like, with, I think Paul, the podcast came out of, because of that. I don't know, it just brought something to me. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I felt a little bit, if you're an actor, whatever you're doing in the world, if you date, you get a lot of rejection. I think I just felt like it was rejection. I didn't understand that he was, you know, I didn't understand that he didn't want to do it or he was sick. It could be either, honestly. But I'm so happy that shifted, that I realized looking through, you know, I didn't need his, you know, part of me felt like if I had a stamp of approval, it would be bigger. And honestly, what I didn't realize is like that, you know, having him on the page, having him just like stuff was a seal of approval. And he did it a lot. And, you know, I think I'm sharing this because it's like, you know, you gotta look at the big picture. You gotta realize I can be like a black and white kind of person in how I think. And it's like, it's not, you know, I mean, it wasn't either yes or no. And when I look back now and I realize how much he did offer at a time that he couldn't offer much, I'm just like, holy shit, what a thing I had. What in it? And I think, you know, when he passed, it hit me kind of hard, but I was also, I hadn't slept in a day, and I was just like, I couldn't really take it in. But like thinking about, it's making me really sad thinking about that he won't, I can't ever say hello to him again. He won't ever like it. He won't, you know. There were some weeks and months where, like, you know, doing this stuff, like, I don't know, Instagram is good and bad. I have moments where, like, it's great for a while, get all these new followers, and then it'll be 3 months of nobody. I mean, there's months that I lose more people than I get. And it can feel like shit. It's not personal, but, you know, whatever. And I think just having him every once in a while be like, oh, cool, check, it just kept me going in a way that now, and I'll say one more thing, is I also started a Jewish project, and I think based on Paul, the reason I asked Paul to do the podcast is because I saw the documentary, I forget what it's called, about his father who was kind of a volunteer for the first Israeli Air Force. It's really good. I don't know what it's called, but it's beautiful, and he's on there talking about his dad, and I kind of felt like anybody who would be on a documentary talking about their father and the way he was somebody that as a Jew, I could connect with, and they would understand me, and I would understand them, and we could do something. And I just think that's, there's something in Judaism for me, when I'm dealing with other Jews, I just feel safer. I know it sounds weird, I don't like admitting it, but I do. That being said, you know, we've taken a bunch of the episodes of the podcast, and we put them on a separate Jewish thing, and some of them, you know, one of them is with an African, third-generation African rabbi. So I'm still trying to be diverse in that world, but I don't know. It, all this stuff has got me to good places, and I just think he's the major force in all of it, and that's all I'm going to say. This is long. I talk longer than I'm supposed to. I'll give a pitch while I'm at it. Right now I'm looking for work. I'm going back to teaching. I can't really afford to do this. I had 6 months off my job. I had money, so I could do this for a while, and I'm happy, and I got to figure it out. But if you do want to support it, there's a lot of ways to support. There's Patreon. You can give donations. We need all kinds of people to be involved. But anyway, it's a pleasure. This is honestly one of the best things I've ever gotten to do with my life. Sorry for rambling at you at 10:20 Eastern, and I guess 7:20 on the West Coast. So, you know. Hopefully I've just, you know, hopefully I haven't ruined your night and you can still go out. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stop fucking talking. Thank you. good episode coming out very soon. We're working towards our year anniversary, which is the end of the month, and we will have 52 episodes out. Big thank you to Otter Castro, who is a researcher, producer, and editor, who I would have had to quit about 2 months ago if I hadn't found Otter. Smart kid, hard worker. Glad to have him. Thank you.